Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Compliance Week News Podcast for the week of Thursday, December 23rd. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to examine new proposals from the Securities and Exchange Commission to increase the disclosure companies must make about their dealings in conflict minerals. The SEC proposed these new disclosures on December 15th, and they are one of the agency's many new rulemaking mandates from the Dodd-Frank Act. In a very brief summary, essentially the rules would require companies to disclose how often their commercial activity might end up supporting the market for conflict minerals, and they would generally be defined as diamonds or gold or other precious minerals taken from war-torn parts of the world. And the clear goal here is to compel companies to assure that they are not supporting that trade in conflict minerals. But as I said, that is a very brief summary. Joining us to talk in more detail about what the proposals say, the compliance burdens they would impose on corporations, and how companies might be tripped up by the rule is Sarah Altshuler. She is a lawyer with the firm of Foley Hoag and works in the firm's corporate social responsibility practice in Washington. So, Sarah, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Yes, thank you, Matt. It's lovely to be here.
So now, first question, maybe give us a basic summary of the SEC's proposed rule. What are the conflict minerals it discusses, and what U.S. companies would fall under the jurisdiction, and all of the broad contours like that?
Sure. The rule that was proposed last week applies to all SEC issuers who file reports with the commission for which these conflict minerals, and I'll discuss the specific minerals later, are necessary to the functionality or production of a product manufactured or contracted to be manufactured by the issuer. And the rule applies to foreign private issuers and smaller reporting companies. It has a very broad reach. Now, the specific conflict minerals are actually the three T's, as they're called, tantalum, tungsten, tin, and then gold. So there's actually four minerals that are covered here. And the real concern is the Democratic Republic of Congo and the war that's been going on there for over a decade. And what the rule is aimed at doing is asking issuers to determine if their production, if the their manufacturing processes in some way support the ongoing conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo by providing a market for these conflict minerals. Mm-hmm. So all SEC issuers that use these minerals in their production are required to go through a process called a reasonable country of origin inquiry to determine if the minerals they use originated in the Democratic Republic of Congo or actually in the adjoining countries around the Democratic Republic of Congo. And this reasonable country of origin inquiry and the final determination from that inquiry must be disclosed in the annual 10-K. Now, if a company determines that the minerals it's using originated in the countries, in the Democratic Republic of Congo or the adjoining countries, or cannot conclude that they did not originate in the countries covered, the issuer will be required to disclose this determination, again, in its annual report, and then must go through an additional step, which is the production of a conflict minerals report, which would exist as an exhibit to the annual 10-K and be provided on the issuer's website.
Okay. So tell us a little more then about the due diligence and what is actually going to be disclosed in this sort of thing. I read through some of the rule proposal myself, and I saw that there was talk of an independent audit, and you mentioned the conflict minerals report. What is going to be the guts of what a company would have to do and have to actually write and disclose?
Sure. No, and the conflict minerals report must describe the due diligence that the issuer conducted on the source and chain of custody of the minerals it's using. Mm-hmm. They will be required to describe the country of origin of those minerals, the particular facilities used to process those minerals, and any efforts taken to locate the actual mine or source of the minerals with the greatest possible specificity. And basically, it's going to require an audit of the supply chain and to really identify, again, with that greatest possible specificity, where these minerals originally came from.
That sounds like it might be something where you're going to have to hire a specialist firm, or, I mean, we're dealing with some pretty sketchy parts of the world. This, on a practical level, it doesn't sound like it's going to be very easy.
No, it really isn't. And, you know, I should add also that the conflict minerals report must be audited by an independent private sector auditor. So there's already an auditor role here.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual, you know, process of conducting this due diligence, you know, I think is going to involve certainly some assistance there from third parties from many companies. We didn't really talk about the range of potential companies, but in looking at that, I mean, it's going to impact anyone, you know, who makes a product that has electronic components, mobile telephones, computers, video game consoles, digital cameras. All of those use tantalum. Gold is used in jewelry and also for electronic and aerospace equipment. Tin is used in alloys and soldering. So all of these companies particular industries have already been looking at some of the minerals in question. For example, the electronics industry, some of the leading companies in that industry, including Intel, Dell, Motorola, mm-hmm. have been very active for the last year looking at just the tantalum supply chain, and they've come up with some industry initiatives to really identify the source and chain of custody for tantalum specifically. Interestingly, the SEC does not dictate a particular standard for the due diligence that issuers must conduct.
Okay.
But there's already beginning to be a bit of an international standard, and the SEC flags this in the proposed rule, saying that companies should note if they use a national or internationally recognized standard of due diligence. And the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, has actually been working on some due diligence guidelines for conflict mineral supply chains.
So if we're looking for guidance, you could go to the OECD, I suppose, or where else could they go to help figure out where they could get good guidance on this?
Sure. I would, you know, again, particular companies, I think, should look at this rule, and I think some companies are going to find that their industry has already been quite active. You know, there's some real activity happening. There's an electronics industry coalition. There's some activity in the jewelry industry. There's a tin industry trade group that has already been very active. So companies may find that within their industry, there's already a coalition developing to develop some standards.
Sure.
But certainly the OECD its draft guidance at this point, due diligence guidance, may be a very useful reference for companies in looking at what may be required. I mean, it's really an evaluation of the supply chain, auditing suppliers, determining the country of origin and chain of these minerals, and developing sufficient inquiry processes that you can make a reasonable declaration to the SEC that, you know, you've conducted this diligence and here's what you found.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not an absolute standard. It is, you know, the best, you know, the inquiries that a reasonably prudent person would perform. You know, it isn't, you know, overturn every stone, but it is quite it requires quite a level of diligence.
So let me ask this last question then. How new of a thing is this whole concept of investigating the minerals you're using and the standards we might have to audit this and inspect and determine that your supply chain is solid and clean? The guidance we have out there, is it mature enough that this can be embraced quickly, or are we at a real infancy stage where this is going to be a big headache and steep learning curve for many companies?
We are in an infancy stage. I think that's very fair to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some pilot initiatives by particular industries. Again, the electronics industry has been pretty active. But this is all it's a very hard inquiry. It's not an easy thing to do. A lot of companies are going to be affected. I anticipate, you know, there's going to be a lot of activity at the industry level. And all sorts of, you know, providers of due diligence services, auditing services are going to be becoming factors here. But it is something where I think this is going to evolve over time.
Sure.
The SEC it was fairly transparent in its proposed rule on a few things. One, they said very clearly, we expect this provision to apply to many companies and industries.
Mm-hmm.
They also say that, you know, the standards for what, you know, what is required in terms of due diligence will likely evolve over time. There will be best practices emerging, but those best practices are likely to change as people really get into this and realize what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
What types of records, you know, if you're looking at your supply chain, yeah, what types of records are you requiring from your suppliers to make determinations as to where they got those source minerals? This is all new, and it's certainly new for the issuers that it affects. It's even more new for the suppliers further down the supply chain, you know, down to the smelter level, down to the mine level, that have never been asked these chain of custody questions before.
Sure.
And this is, you know, this is a rule that is supposed to be a final rule by April 15th, 2011. That's very quick. And there has been some suggestion, you know, heading into a new Congress that Congress may potentially delay the impact of a wide range of the rules being promulgated under Dodd-Frank. I certainly, you know, this is going to get a lot of comment, this proposed rule. I don't know whether Congress will step in and mandate a delay.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's a fairly heavy lift for a lot of companies.
And one last question. We've been talking about this rule in the context of the Congo and its surrounding nations, and clearly they are the prime offenders for this. But is the rule really specific to those countries, or in theory, might we need to worry about this in Indonesia or parts of Latin America somewhere down the road, and you know they might wind up in the same situation as the Congo? And I'm just wondering if we might see some geographic mission creep here.
I don't think so. This rule was really the people even advocating for this particular provision in Dodd-Frank were very focused on this ongoing conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which you know is a horrific war that has cost more lives than any war since World War II. I mean, it's been ongoing. There hasn't been a whole lot of world attention paid to it. And one of the findings of various UN investigations, et cetera, was that the sale of these minerals is really fueling the conflict. That the wrong people are making a lot of money because of the sale of these minerals and are controlling the sale of these minerals. So the people who wanted the provision introduced into Dodd-Frank really saw this aimed at this particular conflict.
All right. Well, Sarah, you gave us plenty to think about here and covered a lot of ground, so thank you very much. We really appreciate your time.
No, it's been great talking to you, Matt. Thank you.
And again, everybody, that was Sarah Altshuler of the law firm Foley Hoag, talking with us today about the SEC's new proposals on disclosure of company exposure to conflict minerals. That is all for this week's podcast. And for our Compliance Week subscribers, I should note we are going into holiday mode here, and we will not publish our usual weekend edition tomorrow, December 24th, nor our usual Tuesday newsletter next week on December 29th. We will, however, be updating our website with corporate governance and compliance news as necessary all next week at complianceweek.com. Feel free to check that out from time to time. And with that said, I am Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening. Happy holidays, and I hope you'll join us again next time.